Yes, Lord, by your Spirit.
We ask that you be with us today, O Lord, your sweet presence, your sweet truth, your sweet life, O Lord, would be manifested amongst us, O Lord. Touch us today. Touch us. Touch us, those who have gotten weary from things of the world, O Lord, that there would be a refreshing. We ask, O Lord, for that sweet refreshing today, Lord. Lord, that we would be built up in you, that we would be closer to the place that you would have us to be, O Lord. Draw us by your Spirit. We're not going to do it on our own. We need your Spirit. So, Lord, we ask, God, Jesus, that your Spirit would help us along the way with that, by your Spirit. Thank you. Amen.
I was thinking this morning that you leave the devil alone long enough, and he can shut this thing up. And as we see in the scriptures, you know, like leading up to the time that Christ came, it says that they that sat in darkness saw great light. And my question is, who? Who sat in darkness? Everybody? Everybody except the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Who sat in darkness? And the thing is, they all sat in darkness. And the light that came was Christ. And the light that he gave was the word of God that he spoke. He said, I was born and I was sent to bear witness of the truth. And that was the light. The light is God's truth. And there's a scripture in 2 Timothy, there's a lot of you that I want to get to here in a minute, but it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's a kind of a funny way to this word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, Paul said, well, I'm going to say this by myself. No, I don't. He said it once or twice. He said, I'm not sure that I don't feel that, you know, I'm necessarily led to say this, but it would be scripture. And I can't remember exactly what it was. It has something to do with the husband-wife relationship, I think, or something. And anyway, but it says here that all scripture is given by inspiration. And this is a little different than what we see. It's like God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. This is saying it's given by inspiration. You know what I'm saying? It's not different, but it's like when we look at the epistles. And to as many as are led by the Spirit and the sons of God, we look at the epistles and it's like they're kind of strange a little bit. And yet they are inspired. You know, they're given by inspiration. And it says that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, to the prophets, and in his last days he spoke to us by his son, to his son. And Peter said that God spoke by holy men of old. He didn't just speak by men, but he spoke by holy men of old. Men that he ordained, men that he came up with. And so they sat in darkness. And I'll get back to the point. And the thing is, everybody sat in darkness. Because the light was there. It was just coming. And the light was the revelation of God's Word. They had the light, even in the Old Testament. They had it through the Old Testament. But it was concealed. They couldn't, it didn't make sense. And as a matter of fact, I think it was when Jesus had said that nobody ever was perfected or something by the law. Was it Jesus that said that?
Might have been.
Or was it Paul?
I might have just read that.
But so what?
Nobody was ever made perfect by the law. the law had to be put into faith form. And we, you know, it says we were under the law until faith came. And once faith came, we no longer need the schoolmaster of the law. We don't need it. But anyway, so here, they sat in darkness, I see the great light. Well, it becomes obvious. So Jesus comes along, and he says he's the light. And so what he does something that we get in trouble for today. It's wrong today to call bad bad. If you want to call something bad, you call the good bad. You know what I mean? Then you can get away with it because the devil is in charge of everything, so he's behind it. So don't call bad bad. You know, don't call homosexuality bad. That's an inherited weakness. You know what I mean? It's just because this is where we're at. This is the generation that we're in. And it's kind of like being inside of a tomorrow. Well, don't call it bad. And God said, well, we'll see about that. And so he destroyed it. But anyway, what it says here in 2 Timothy, this is where I don't know, was I here once?
That's where you started.
I started here?
2 Timothy.
Okay. So, I'm almost 83. So anyway, in the 5th verse, well, it's starting now, it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. It doesn't give you a qualification necessarily. It's a perilous time you're going to come. And then it says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, etc. And it gives what I call kind of normal behavior. That's what it is. You know what I mean? These things are what we're used to. This is what we see in the church. And so in the 5th verse, it's still going on the same theme. And it says, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And so, here we are. They have a form of godliness. We're not necessarily talking about the world. Although you can't tell the church from the world. You know. They kind of all look the same. It says they have a form of godliness, and they deny the power thereof, and then it makes this one statement. It says, from such turn away. And so I'm going to wrap it a little bit, but I got thinking of this one about the Pharisees. And they made the statement at least once, maybe twice, and they said, have any of the Pharisees believed in him? Well, we know that the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem, not from Nazareth. So do any of the Pharisees believe in him? And so anyway, it seemed obvious, or it seemed like nobody stood up with him. It seemed like that he had a legitimate point. You know what I mean? You were right. Nobody believed in him. But the truth of the matter is, from the scriptures, we see that there were a lot of Pharisees, a lot of church leaders, a lot of people who were becoming more and more convinced that he was the Christ. But because of wanting the praise of men, it says, rather than the praise of God, they didn't confess him. Do you follow what I'm saying? I can't see it very good, so I don't agree with me.
Just like nowadays. Nowadays, people believe the wrong things.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know where I was. But in 2 Timothy, we have a counterpart, as far as I can see, to the, you know, as a men who sat in darkness. Well, the church basically is in darkness today. It's in darkness because of the thing that I've been a part of it, and is that we have not based our eternal life on the Word of God. We base it on churchianity. We base it on what the Catholic Church says, or the Lutheran Church says, or the Baptist Church says. And so what we don't realize is that they are setting in darkness. They're in the same darkness. And they confess Christ and they don't own Christ. They don't have Christ. I got a problem with that because I was, realizing that we can lump them all in one big thing, but that's not fair either. Because even if the church is kittywampus, it doesn't mean that everybody in it is. You know what I mean? There are people in church organizations that have a real relationship with the Lord. And there's a lot of people in a Trinitarian church that don't believe it in the Trinity. There's a lot of them. And we'll see. I think in the days ahead, we're going to see more and more of this picture. But anyway, and here it says, that they have a form of godliness, but deny the power from such kind of way. Is that what we're supposed to do?
Such too.
From such turn away. And then it says, and then it makes a statement in verse 5. For of this sort, for of this sort are those who creep into houses and silly women, it says. Late with sins, and they live with every, with lust every. And then it says in verse 7. And here's the picture of what we need to see. They are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why?
Because we're not looking for it in the right place.
They're not hearing it.
Right. What else? Same thing.
Thank you. And now here's what it says. As Jannes and Jambres, I know that's right pronunciation, withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. Is that any wonder then that God is that he judges according to the way that he does. You know what I mean? If we resist the truth, we're in the same condition. It says they were like those that resisted Moses. So they resist the truth. And I saw that this morning. I thought, Lord, don't let me ever get into a place where I resist the truth. Don't let me resist the
truth. Amen.
What happened, it says that Abraham, what was the faith issue with Abraham? He looked for a city whose builder and founder was God. And here's the thing. I've heard people say, well, when I retire, and I know somebody that said that to me a few months ago. And not here, but and they said, when I retire, I'm going to just find a nice little church somewhere and settle down until I the end of my days. And I didn't say anything. I just thought, well, that's not my business. That's their, but I also thought of the picture of Abraham. And I thought, that's not what they would have said by faith. They would have said, I'm going to be looking for a church that is a church of truth. You know what I mean? I'm going to find a place that is, and the only way you can find it is by the scriptures. You can't find it without the scriptures. You have to be something that's totally scripture minded. And are there some? Of course there are. Are we one of them? Not yet.
but we're heading in the right direction. And so the churches that we see around us, they're sitting in darkness, almost without exception. And the reason is because they have a form of godliness and they deny God's power. Is that darkness or not? We can't make any great faith claim ourselves, but every so often I heard a statement, I won't say it right now, but one night here, I think it was Ken that made the statement about it. You know, something could happen. I can see it coming. Will you have said it? I think so. And why do they say it? Because faith is starting to come. We can't lay claims on faith yet and say, oh, we've got all faith, because we don't. But faith comes by the hearing of God's word. And after a while, you know, my faith has certainly changed. It's a lot stronger than it's ever been. And 20 years of night and day with the word of God, it has to do something. And that's what an individual years ago, he said, I would tell him, well, listen to the scriptures nonstop. And he says, it can't hurt. I said, no, it can't hurt. But you know what? It's not easy to make that kind of commitment. And why did he do it? I don't know. Only God knows.
Interesting enough, I was, I've been going on YouTube to catch the highlights of the Tour de France now. But in there is mixed, this Missy Edwards that sings a lot of spiritual songs and stuff. So I went there this morning because I was going to maybe just listen to some music, and I started listening for them. I kept looking over to the right, and here's this other, and it says, Smith Wigglesworth's vision of the last days. And I so I quit listening to music and I went there. And I believe it was Lester Sumrall that was sharing this. And he was in England when he was like 24, 25 as an evangelist. And Wigglesworth was already middle 80s. And he wanted to go see him. And I think he was in a conference with him and stuff. And he said he was a real kind of stirring guy, you know. He just never showed a lot. And real. And he said, I want to see you. And so this lesson. So he knew where he lived. So he started going to see him eventually. And he said he kept blessing him and praying, you know. And he'd leave and he went, I know something's different. And he kept going back and forth. So then it come that the war was, the Nazis were starting to come into Europe. This was 1939. And so they told him, he was an American, of course, that he'd have to leave the country. So he wanted to go tell Smith Wigglesworth that he couldn't come to visit him anymore after this last visit. And so Wigglesworth, he said the first time he went there, he had a newspaper under his arm.
He went, leave it out.
Yeah, throw that. You're not coming in. That's lies. My house is full of truth, is what his statement was. And so then he said, from then on, I never. And so he would always pray for it, but he said he'd read. I'm going to read. So he'd read for a half hour out of the Word, and then they'd pray. And then he'd read for a half hour out of the Word, and they'd pray. And so then it got to this last time, and so he said, I want to pray for you. And he stood up, and he said he's a real, you know, pretty tall guy. And very, like, nothing's out of place, everything. Very, you know, proper. And he said he was... praying over him, and tears were just coming down, and he said, and they were dripping on my forehead, and And, you know, because he was so sincere, and he was blessing him, and because he knew, he was, well, it was an anointing that was coming on to this Lester Sumrall, because he was going to, he'd been already traveling out, but was going to be going all over the world. And then he said, there's going to be a move of God in the end times, like greater than ever been done, even in the first church. All no disease will stand before it, cancer or anything. And it was like there'd be millions coming to the Lord around the world. And he said, but I'm not going to see it. But he said, you are. So, I don't know, is Lester Sumrall still alive, though? You know, I couldn't tell by the little thing because it kind of starts with, so whatever. But, so when Lester, afterwards, he's sharing and he said, you know, he said, here's what's wrong with people. He says, you got the Lutherans who got a blessing, a Luther blessing. But then they never wanted any more blessing after that. And then you had the Methodists that got Wesley and got a blessing. And they never wanted, he said, don't just settle for the good, want what the best is. He said, so he said, you know, you don't sit at where you're at. And this is what he's saying, he's in a big conference or whatever, you know. And the way he said it, you know, you couldn't get real offended, really, if you were one of those people. It was like, and then he brought up Andrew, who was with John the Baptist. Well, he was a Baptist. And then one day, John the Baptist says, no, there's the one who's greater than me. I need to. And when Andrew looked at Jesus, he went, oh, I want the best. And he went running and found his brother, Simon Peter, and said, the Messiah's here. And he said, after that, he wasn't a Baptist. You know? He was moving on, in other words. That was a really good point made, that we're kind of seeing the same thing. You know, you can't just sit where you're at. You got to be, and you have to be open to the truth. You know? And then another little thing on there that I started to listen to for a little bit, and I won't comment much, but it was it's a documentary on Azusa Street, which is kind of interesting. And just a Pentecostal movement started in Topeka, Kansas in 1901 with Parthen or something, what's his name? He was a white person. But Azusa Street started with a little black church. And that was kind of, and then they moved to this bigger building, which was the one on Azusa Street. They moved from their little church to Azusa, and then that's where the revival. And the guy was saying, so there was a Pentecostal movement in Topeka, but the one that went worldwide was more because of the Azusa revival, because then it kind of put them both up there, and then it spread. So anyway, just a little history, but. But I thought that was really interesting. And there's a couple other different things. I don't know what the deal is, but there was at least two other things on Smith Wigglesworth, you know. So
YouTube's got you paid.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah, okay. I'm really surprised.
I hate to tell you this, but
yeah, but I don't know how Smith Wigglesworth ever got put in there.
Yeah.
You know,
he's always been in there.
Yeah,
he's always been in there. Search history.
Yeah.
If that gentleman was 25 and 39, he'd be 104 today.
Yeah.
If he's still alive, he's 104. Yeah. My math is right.
He's in his 20s. He was
20,
yeah.
25 and 39.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, 39. Year 39.
So I think it's 104.
I think that
died in 1940.
Yeah, probably he must have died right after that.
4 years after I was born. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know him.
Well, that's probably why he was praying. He knew he was just giving
something
out. You know, you were talking about darkness, Keith, and I was thinking, you know, when it's nighttime, it's going to be dark. It's going to be dark. And it's a little hard to fault the people that are go operating in the time of nighttime to not be in the dark. You know, it's dark. But there is a problem when the light comes and men love darkness more than the light. Yeah. That it's at that point. And I think also, what is dark is dark. And yet, I think you can expect the people who are in darkness to be not satisfied, to be seeking to be like Abraham, you know, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, and not satisfied with where they are.
If you're being open to the fact that you're in darkness,
right. Right.
In other words, I don't have it all yet.
Carter's famous line.
Nailed it. According to Wikipedia, Lester Sumrall passed April 29, 1996. But there is Lester Sumrall Ministries, and I think it's still ongoing.
And he did make the comment that he said, and we're beginning to see this when he was speaking, because they had opened up, because the technology communication was going out.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was a touch of it at the beginning, but it really hasn't come to its fulfillment. You know, I'm sure they were seeing what they thought was evangelism going around the world, you know, through their ministry, whatever, and others that were connected to them. But anyway, yeah. Well, you know, like every, you have to test the spirits. Wait and see if it's true or not, you know.
Well, Paul thought that Jesus would be coming in his lifetime.
Right.
It's a continuing error that is surely orchestrated by the Holy Spirit, you know, with that level of expectation that is continues to be disappointed.
That's not a bad thing.
No, oh, I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
But it should keep you moving forward.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yep.
To want it, if it is going to be.
Right.
And
right.
Just to keep wanting. You know?
Flesh is ever hopeful. Flesh is ever hopeful.
Error in quotations.
Right. Every I'm out that the Holy Spirit was giving us error.
Yes, you are right.
Yes, he'll take that one.
But man would look at it as error. Right.
Yeah, so yeah. From
that's where we see that. Right. It does look like that. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Where they have that generation was failed again.
Yeah, because they assume everything somebody says is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Well, part of it is maybe, but not all of it necessarily. And that's what we're learning. That you just don't take it. You know, you got to line it up with Scripture. And,
yeah. You know, when Jesus died, the saints came out of the grave.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Paul's going to come out of the grave and see it and problem solved, you know what I mean? Paul could still see it in his life. That's it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he does it that way so that you're always thinking and always ready to have the opportunity. I know when I was 13, watching all of those end time movies in middle school, I was hoping I was supposed to be 15 or 18.
Yeah.
But like, even though I knew that I was a teenager, I knew that my dad and Rodney and Gordon Johnson were going to be lined up, their heads were going to be chopped off. So I lived with that fear, but then the fear left, and then it was anticipation. So I think that, you know, God allowed that, so then we are always ready. However, I always banked on, well, I had years before the rapture is going to take place, but there's no promise for me for today, you know?
That's right.
So,
why do we have to get so old?
We
understand.
You know, Paul does say, I'm going to tell you a mystery. You know, in the blink of an eye, things can happen. So, all this afterlife situation, it's basically incomprehensible in naturally right now. So we're trying to look at all this thing. You know, Paul says that he's going to see it, and then, you know, Smith with God's word, and he's got this thing, and who's going to see it. Paul is explicitly saying this is a mystery. You know what I mean? It's a mystery how it's going to happen. You know what I mean? Everyone is going to see the coming of the Lord. Everyone.
Yes, that's right.
Something that he said, I don't know how to tie it up with anything, but there's Jesus says, and I think it was quoting the Old Testament, either Isaiah or Psalms or Proverbs, but it's just they honor me with their lips, but their heart is away from them. When you were speaking about situation of the church, whatever, but you do see a lot of mouthing. You know, and when he talks about the darkness and men love darkness, is it, they love darkness not so much, well, this is because their deeds are evil, what they do, you know, so they love darkness. But so a lot of times, I don't know if this is right or not, but I do try to like hold on to, you know, not in here, but like in public, I say, do you say so much about spiritual things? Because, you know, I don't want to have a lot of mouth and not so many deeds. Or, you know, I want my heart to be where my mouth is. And I think I'm accomplishing slowly that, you know, I think my mouth is getting closer to my heart. And it's also the, you know, Bible says, you know, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So somehow your heart is an open book when you do hear people speak. However, you know, they honor you with the lips, but their heart is away from you. You know.
Mm-hmm. That is a funny paradox or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Speaketh.
But, on the other hand, there, if your heart is far away and you're describing hypocrite by that.
I had something happen, I think was it last Sunday night maybe, that I used Chubby as an illustration. And the Bible says in John 17:3, it says, this is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God. That's what it says. The only true God. The only true God. And then it says in First Corinthians, second chapter, it says, no man knows a thing of God except the Spirit of God. You know what I mean? No man knows a thing of God except the Spirit of God. Well, one of the things that is happening to us as we listen to the scriptures is the greatness of God increases and increases and increases and increases until after a while we're like, you know, from my perspective, we're like ants in a sandpile as far as God is concerned. We're just, you know what I mean? We're just grains of sand spread out over the earth. We're trying to consume or comprehend God. We're trying to figure out who God is. And we don't have the ability. There's nothing in us that can comprehend the one that can create what he has created. He is spirit. That doesn't make sense either. Not a spirit, but he's spirit. I can't comprehend that. I can't see spirit. No man has seen God at any time. And so what God has done is he has given us both the Old Testament and the New, except the New Testament is the revealed truth part of the equation. You know, the old one has the truth, but it's concealed. The new one is the truth revealed. And so Jesus has slowly given us a picture, and that's why he said, no man can know the Father except the Son, who the Son revealed it. Well, the Son had revealed the Father through the Word. Why? Because God Himself is the one that has revealed Himself through the Son to us. God Himself is revealing Himself, and so the Word is a revelation of the Father. Or what, at least from what He knows that we can comprehend or do something with, whatever we do with it.
I found a setting in Philippians this morning that kind of coincides with this. 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I think I see us in this.
And is that, does the next line say, and those who are perfect are thus minded?
Well, yeah. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, or perfect, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained. So I think we can say we have a degree that we have attained to. That,
by the mercy of God.
Not the 100% degree, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let us, so then it says that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And we're coming to that.
Yeah.
Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who do so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And then it says, for we are, our citizenship is in heaven. We look for the Savior who will transform our lowly body, that it may be like His, conform to His glory. So, anyway, I just thought, you know, I think we can honestly say, yeah, we've attained to some degree. God has brought us along far, way farther than the degree we were at before.
Yes.
You know? And so, and if you have something, it says, if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you.
Yes.
So be open, you know?
And so when I heard a voice 20 years ago, it said, if you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. The other day I began to get it. The only place that where the revelation of God is in His Word by what He said. It's not what somebody else said about Him, it's what He said Himself, or what is said through His prophets. And so God has revealed what we need to know through the Word, and He wants us. That's why He said, blessed is the man, blessed are those whose delight is in this Word, and meditate on it day and night. God's going to bless that people. Why? Because we're going to get to know Him as only able, you know, by His mercy and grace through the Word. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of that Word, and that Word is a disclosure of God, of God's, what God wants us to know. So when you go to a church somewhere and they got their own rendition and their private interpretation, you'll never find God. You can't find God there because that's not where He is. He's not in the concepts of men. He's not in what men think. So He hides truth from the wise and the prudent and reveals it to babes. And no man can come to God except by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so He gives us a substance called faith, which comes by the Word. Faith comes by the hearing of God's Word. That's the only way you can get it. Does that make any sense, Don?
Well, it makes sense.
You're doing better than I am.
Spiritually, it makes sense.
Right. Makes sense as living in it, not the same thing. Before the scripture that we were talking about out of the abundance of the heart, His mouth speaks. It's in several Gospels, Luke 6, 45. I can read that if you're interested.
Yeah.
That's a statement that Jesus made then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lost it.
Yeah.
How about
Susan Tyler?
Yeah.
You got the tab to get there faster.
If we could say it in such a way, out of the abundance of God's heart.
Well,
it's this
not,
word.
It's not worded exactly in all the translations. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and he and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh.
So it can go either way.
Yeah. So good, you say what's in your heart is what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Which is not quick as being said. But it's in several of the passages.
Sure.
So the point was, Sunday night when we were talking about this, I was using Charlie's example. The only way I know it, I don't know Charlie by what people tell me about him. I only know Charlie by what Charlie tells me about him. You follow me? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that no man knows, we don't even know ourselves, but except the spirit that is in a man knows. I'll just say that. No man knows the things of man except the spirit of man that is in him.
Yeah.
And then it says that no man knows the things of God except the spirit of God. And so, if the spirit is a revelation of God, but the word, if God has given us this word out of the abundance of his heart, if that's the way to put it, God has used the prophets to give us a picture of himself.
Mm.
It's more fun for the flesh man to learn about Charlie from Ken, who maybe Charlie's grasp isn't, you know.
My grasp.
I can't believe she picked that example. Oh, I don't know. I don't think it's that. But you know what I mean? If I was to listen to...
Larry was there right after I was. I'm with mine.
Oh, but you know what I mean? It's more fun and whatever for the flesh man to listen and seek and hear things that feel good. You know, somebody tells you about God and he's so graceful and do whatever because he's just great. That feels so much better than actually reading. Yes, no, do this, don't do this. But the flesh man, you know, it's much more, if I go to Charlie and he says blah, blah, it's just more appealing to the flesh man, you know, to hear about Charlie from maybe Susan's having a bad day and she doesn't like Charlie that day, you know, or
rumors are appealing.
Yeah, and so it's just a thing, but to really know somebody,
so Jesus says, he said in John 17, he says, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. And actually, when I looked up in the concordance, the word sanctify them and separate them unto yourself through the truth. And you won't be separated unto God through the truth that the church has come up with through their private interpretation. You're only going to be separated unto God by His truth. And that's what I want. That's what Abraham wanted. He said, I want a city or whatever it is that God made. Mm-hmm. You know what's happening to us? We're starting to feel that. I want something that God made.
The Lord, yes.
I don't want something that Keith Gunn come up with. What did God make? Mm-hmm. What is it that He has? What does He want done? And you know what He's going to do? He's going to help us build it, find it. I don't want to settle down in a little place somewhere and wait for until I die.
mean, a lot of us have said this. We want to be what God wants to make us to be.
That's the way to be.
You know.
Yeah.
Not what we think
right.
we should be or somebody else, but what God wants to make us to be.
Right. Yes.
And sometimes I'm not very cooperative.
Well,
a lot of times.
Even Peter's one. You know what I mean? Peter still had the keys of Peter.
Sometime here in the last couple weeks, I said something that I thought was so good that I want to repeat it today. And that is that if you are settled on a point that you know to be truth, what you are doing is creating a big obstacle from the Holy Spirit to reveal what is true. You're creating, you know, there's this big thing that the Holy Spirit won't be able to get at. You know? And it is the Holy Spirit that reveals His Word. If you know from some other source what His Word is, then you're not going to get it from the Holy Spirit.
Well, no, that's basically what Smith Wigglesworth was saying. You know, they did Lutherans did what they had keep it in.
Right.
Out there, sure.
You know, we like to hear from man. See, God, you have to learn God from God, because what men want to say, tell me who God is. Okay, here's two sentences. Okay, I'm good to go. But you cannot, nobody, no man can tell you who God is. The Creator, you can't. I can't use my mouth to explain God. I don't have what it takes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So God has to do it in a lifetime.
Well, look at what the Spirit of God only knows. The Spirit of God only knows God. The Spirit of God only knows God.
Yeah.
I'm gonna maybe bring a little correction. So really, the Holy Spirit said that.
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
It's a good thing what you said.
Yeah.
And that's inspired, I believe, by
yes.
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. If I really thought it was me, I wouldn't brag about it.
Really? Jesus.
See, because if it wouldn't have been as good as it was, then I would have like, yeah, that's what you come up with, Charlie. Or same for me, any of us, you know.
I still remember Jimmy Swagger. You know, Jimmy Swagger's got his own problems, but I remember him, you know, going away, and he said, man, that's good preaching.
Yeah. There's a lot of them that have that same
that attitude.
Yeah.
Attitude. But I think, you know, my sense at the time was that
it was good preaching.
Jimmy Swagger was not bragging. Yeah. He was merely commenting on the fact that the Holy Spirit was power, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
You know, about Jimmy Swagger, then. Nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I know nothing about Jimmy Swagger.
I was going to say, do you know what that is?
It's except like the highlights. Oh, you know what I mean? So I take that Jimmy Swagger was anointed
evangelist.
And then, you know, he made a mistake, right?
Yeah.
So see, the problem is that us men are examining man so much, so God can use a man, and so then man, other men will say, well, he made a mistake, so he can't be a godly man. You know what I mean? But let me tell you something. He made a mistake. He's still a godly man. Mm-hmm. His word was still. I couldn't be all wrong, but let's use somebody else's example. But God still could, can use a man that makes mistakes. In fact, Paul is a mistake-making man. So the, our issue is that before we open our ears to see what God might say through a man, we want to examine this person like a politician. He's running for office. Now you know what he did 150 years ago. You know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying, hey, go listen to this naked person in the street. No. But it is acceptable to make a mistake. If somebody influences your life in a godly way and this guy makes a mistake, guess what? He's just like you.
Amen. Now, it is tough when glorious things come out of your mouth, you know? And it is easy to take credit for them and get full of pride. And I don't know Jimmy Swaggart's heart, but it seemed pride comes before a fall, and it seems as though, but he's a lesson for us.
Mm-hmm.
We must not think just because glorious things come out of our mouth, we're anything too great. You know, we and that's our, you know. It's hard.
It's interesting in his case because he fell, you know, in adultery or whatever. And I don't know. I assume that he went through a tough time that he repented because.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Now we're saying all this, but
his ministry is still going. His sons are all involved.
I would assume there was repentance.
But then at the same time, he also made up his own version of the Bible.
Right.
I just don't follow him.
He would sell this Bible, but, you know.
Yeah, because he thought he could make it more easily for the people to.
I'm assuming it was commentary that was so.
Yeah,
rhythm,
to break down everything, right. And that
totally
leaves out the Holy Spirit.
And of course, he was just the only right one that was going to get it
exactly
right, but that's just man. That's what
right.
We do.
Right.
You know, it's easy for us, all people and Christians and whatever, being a pastor's daughter and living in a glass bubble for 45 years, it's easy, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, she did this, and then she's about 46, 47. But
47?
Yeah. I'm nearly 50, but I feel 20, so I'm not sure. But after all of these, you know, it's easy for us or Christians, you know, for Jimmy Swaggart to say that, and then he fell, and he was doing all these things, and so that's great. But it's because his fall, or whatever he did, or whatever, you know, is so great, because his name was already so great.
Right.
But I can tell you that when he makes it to heaven, his before God, Glenn Newborn, the first person that popped in my mind, he's going to be as great in the kingdom as Jimmy Swaggart, you know, or Charlie, or you, or whatever. But in the meantime, I don't have the ability, because you haven't made your name great, I don't have the ability to see your great faults. You know what I mean? And so I could see you minister and pray for somebody, and I'm as impressed as if Jimmy Swaggart did it. But I don't know what's happening in your heart, so I can't go, hey, look at this. You know what I mean? So it's like I see the different. It's easy for Christians to judge somebody that was great, seems that they're going to be pretty great in the kingdom, and so that their fall or their thought or their heart is a lot ickier to God. When it's not any more ickier than the guy down the street who was a Christian, but he's got a horrible.
Well, it's the weakness of man that makes him so great, and it shouldn't be.
Well, right. And that's the thing, is like, God used him, because it just became a thing, but I bet that if Bonnie went out and started praying for every single person down the street,
God with you, every single one of them.
But a lot of times our vision is distorted. You know, two of us, laughing our wine bearer, friends of tax collectors and sinners. I'm talking about Jesus, you know what I mean? Or, you know, it's like, okay, not Jesus because he's with the Latins and the wine bearer. So, or like, if he was a prophet, he would know what kind of a man, this, what kind of a woman this is. So we're always judging. I don't know how to give you examples, but God, in the Old Testament, he says, I'm not happy with A, B, C, D. If you do A, B, C, D, not good. But a lot of good things came out of A, B, C, D. You know what I mean? Kids and the seeds, and, you know what I mean? God is, somehow, he makes these great things out of things he said you shouldn't be doing. You know what I mean? And I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying A.
Well, he does
redeem,
so, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I have wondered a lot about what the evil that I would not do would look for.
Yeah.
Evil that I would not do. I didn't know what it was.
That's funny. He has wondered about it.
All these people who have made mistakes. You ever meet him?
What?
How was he?
We didn't have
like,
examples.
We learned lessons from all that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, even David.
Yeah.
You know, it's everybody. We're out there.
Yeah,
the only perfect man is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. David steals another man's wife, has her husband killed.
Yeah.
And it's thinking he's getting away with it until God sent the prophet and it's corrected.
Yeah.
And at the end of the whole thing, God says, David is a man after my heart.
Yeah.
And it's like, he is.
Maybe
you know why? You know why?
Yeah.
You know why, Paul, why you don't know what Paul's things were? Because then you'd go, oh, well, I don't do those. So.
Yeah.
Or the other way around, let's take. Paul had certain issues. He said, well, if I had those issues, I'm kind of good because Paul had
them. Yeah, of course. That could be anything. Right,
I'll tell you what, when it says the evil that I would not, I know in my heart, I don't know everything in my heart, but I know enough of them that line up with those scriptures.
Yeah, I know enough in my heart.
You know?
Those evil things.
Yeah.
I know.
And I don't need to tell anybody what they are. But, you know, it's a struggle.
Probably good for you.
Yeah.
But it's there's some test too. It will be an evil thought or an evil deed. No more.
Yeah.
But thoughts or deeds. I mean, I think it's more. And I'm missing.
But there is a way out of it. There is hope, you know. There's
hope.
Out, so.
I hope.
They say a thought is as bad as doing it. But then.
That's what I was thinking was, you know, he did. Jimmy Snyder said the big thing and everybody knew it and blah, 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 blah. But the thought of all the men that were in his kingdom. Do you know what I mean? Or the.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and how, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So through Paul, in the Second Corinthians, it says that we are to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought.
And that's the hardest thing.
You know what? How do you do that?
Praying.
And it's
all that thought.
You know what? I've discovered that it's a possible thing to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somehow it's a possible thing.
Because otherwise you wouldn't think.
Like God, only God can do it in you.
Right.
It's a possible thing. God can help you. I tell every one of them is brought into captivity. Or it's, I don't know that every one, but lots of them.
I have funny thoughts. This is often just mundane, but I was just thinking about, you know, in you to me, God is gracious and God is good, and you know, at different times I felt like, did he fail what I thought was best? You know what I mean? But he never failed me. He's always, even when I look back, I realize that it was better than what I was hoping or whatever. And so I look forward with hope and anticipation.
And so God isn't a bad word in my mouth and my thoughts. God doesn't disappoint me. God, whatever. But if you talk to somebody who is lost and this and this and this, well, where's God? And how come God kills people? And how come God causes tragedy?
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
The thought was going through my mind. The talk about Charlie, it just made me think of when I used Charlie as an example of being outside the courtroom after one of Charlie's unemployment trials. If you talk to this one or this one, one, Charlie was really a good guy, and one, Charlie was not a good guy.
That's true.
Why did Charlie do this?
Charlie voted for me.
I've
been outside, and they've come out after not knowing
that. And then
this
one, Charlie was their hero, and this one, whatever.
Yep.
And then Charlie is still the same. Just stays in the game forever. But it was how it landed on them, and they can either be happy for it or not happy.
So then we got the two guys outside, so what is happy with Charlie, the other one is upset with Charlie. Truth is, they should be upset with themselves because they gave that to themselves. You know what I mean?
They should have never got that.
Right, right. Just Charlie would have just put in words what they got to him. So like, I got a speeding ticket because that stupid cop. No, you did a mistake.
Yeah, well, Charlie was unemployment.
Yeah, right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But still, it just made me sit there and think, stand outside there and walk out and Charlie's a good guy. And no, Charlie's a bad guy.
Right.
But Charlie's just all around a good guy.
So basically what's being said is if you view good and evil through the eyes of man, you're going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You need to view good and evil and let God view the good and evil through his eyes.
Badly distorted by self-interest.
Something was said earlier that I just want to come back to because I've been puzzling on it while we've been talking about other things. 2 Corinthians 14 says that let the prophet speak and let the others judge.
1 Corinthians, yep.
Thank you, 1 Corinthians. The point I'm trying to make there is that the Holy Spirit does come through other people, and we have to be open to that. So to say that the Holy Spirit doesn't come through man kind of would contradict it. So you have to be a little bit careful to say that.
Yes.
Not saying the Holy Spirit comes from, or God that has come from man, the Holy Spirit in that man, but, you know, you have to, when you listen to what's being said by X, man or woman,
mm-hmm.
is the Holy Spirit guiding them, or are they just saying what they think?
Right.
Yeah. I have thought that church, you know, meetings, it is a prophetic process. You know, what's going on is a prophetic process. It's not, you know, people are absolutely right. But the upshot of it is when it gets bounced back and forth to the other judge and so forth, as you were saying, it's the process is something that we can have that's trustworthy or whatever.
Well, clearly God is going to reveal himself through the prophet that's heart is open to hear. We have to be open to the fact that truth comes from another source and not to raise the source but recognize what the true source is. So it is that, you know, because God does not reveal himself through just one, save Jesus. But
you know, I wanted to go back a little bit. You know, I myself, and us, we point out to other churches quite a bit, you know, in the church situation. But, you know, Jesus, when in Revelation, he's upset at every church.
Yes, he is.
You know what I mean? So we need to know when we speak about how other churches are lacking. We need to. I don't want to sound like those churches are lacking, unlike us. You know what I mean?
Right.
So and we've been blessed. I think we've been blessed. I don't know how to say this, but I think we've been blessed a bit more than other churches. I feel like. That's the only way I can say it. However, we are in this, when Jesus comes, we are going to be one of those churches.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, you know, when we point to other churches, we need to also remind ourselves or know that there's fingers pointing at us from Jesus that we don't know what the issue is yet.
Amen.
You know, so, and follow us.
Yeah, that's good to remind us of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, good point. There can be some lesson in examining other churches and maybe perceiving some weaknesses that you would want to avoid yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like you're just feeling real good by pointing out other people's faults, although maybe there's some of that too, you know. But no, I think there is some values. It's edifying to be alert to the kinds of things that you could fall into.
Right.
You know, let them be a lesson to you that you don't fall into it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
It just remains that failing has been revealed to you. It doesn't mean that you've got all the failures.
Right.
Right.
And the ones that you're in, you don't see yet.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know yet. Exactly.
Right.
And so, which kind of goes back to Keith's point. You don't retire and wait for God to come.
Right.
You press to God with your last breath.
Mm. And I keep pressing towards the goal with God.
You never stop because you never arrived. So, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm good. Check it out. I'm just going to wait. That's kind of like burying the talent, you know.
It is like that. Yeah. I'm trying to
think. Yeah, there's nothing that tells us, hey, we're going to hit the goal and then we're okay.
Yeah, we're coasting.
Yeah, they keep pressing towards the goal.
Well, okay. Yeah, as it says.
Yeah, keep on. This is it. Yeah.
No, I want to pick another church. But in a normal circumstance, if I would have, whatever I said, if I would have said it anywhere else, I would have heard, how dare you say that we are not.
I just haven't been in enough other churches to know.
Well, I think we could, without mentioning names, the organization we belong to before, if we wanted to basically take a shot against what was just brought from the phone, but that was pretty much like you're done. You can only, the tolerance of not of trying to go against.
Yes, that's true. That whole hierarchy thing and the whole thing, that's true. And I thought that was the right thing for a lot of years.
At the time, it sounded pretty safe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You didn't have to use my own.
Yeah. It sounded really good.
Well, something that Ken read today, it has got to be embedded in some of my spirit. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
That has to be the objective.
Right.
Forget yesterday.
Yep.
Actually, that's a response to the person who's on this defunding church.
Yeah,
you quote that scripture and say, not what the word says.
When you're going to retire and sit in a corner someplace and wait for the end, that's not pressing on.
And
thinking that you, which I know we don't, this is so fun to say it, thinking that you have all truth and that there's nothing more God needs to reveal to you is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to pick on another church. Back when I first was trying to be saved and I had, it was a Pentecostal church. I was down in Beloit, but then I was up here with Reverend Mackey.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, they would do these home Bible studies with a lot of my hippie friends that were trying to find God. But I remember just, he had this chart and he showed this mountain. And he showed, I don't know, but he showed this mountain and, you know, it must be coming out of the Dark Ages and so then. You know, and then Luther, and then how? But they can't. But they can't. But they can't. But you know, they're Pentecostal. They made it to the top. I should be laughing at them. But it's like, no, no, we have to keep pressing on. Make it to the top.
I used to spend a lot of hours in that book.
I'm
sure the same one.
Okay, well, I believe you. I'm just
looking at the peak. What do you do for camp?
Don't get to get to the
peak. Well, that's right.
I think so. I don't even remember totally. I just remember him standing there.
And what really needed to happen was he had the chart and showed someone on a peak. And then there's a second chart that shows that peak's just a little tiny foothill.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
Yeah. You're right.
But we got it all. We're right. Because, like you
can never think that you have it all.
It's like
your own relationship. I mean, who am I to, for me to even know all of God? Not possible.
Right.
And I am with Pablo, and we spend a ton of time together and talking together. I mean, we are old lady best friends. That's what I tell them. We're like chatting. I love being with him. But there is all of a sudden days where I discover something that I never knew. You know, he told me something from his past, or, oh, you don't like orange? Or, you know what I mean? And so, how can I even, after being with him like this for 21 years, still discover? So, of course, who am I to ever feel like I've attained all of the knowledge of God or everything
right
about?
You know, when you stop thinking about it, that term,
I know,
whole gospel, is
it's
bad.
It's bad.
The full gospel.
Yeah, it is bad.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. That is. Because they really, yeah.
Because now
we have
it all.
Yeah.
We've been there.
Yeah, I know.
Let's not go back.
I really thought I knew it all. I really thought I knew it all.
And
I did at the time. Well, and I could tell you, you don't understand that? Let me show you. I could have done that.
I could have whipped on a chart and drew a picture.
Yeah. It was so nice to get to the point when we started listening and all that, and then all of a sudden going, I don't know anything, you know?
But truth,
it was really good. Because
we have a message to preach.
Mm-hmm.
And there's others that have the same message, but we have a message to preach. And one of the main things is, receive a love for the truth.
Yes.
That's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You're going to be doing that. You're going to be preaching that someday. Because the anointing is going to come, and that's what you'll be preaching that. Among other things, you know.
Well, the scripture that I hang on, which Kenny and Gina would refer to, is because you think you know, your sin remains.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is to anyone who says, well, I pretty much got it. And you go, according to the word. Yeah, in fact, I use that whenever I feel it. Like, I think I'm spot to respond to them, like,
remind yourself of
that scripture, because it says, if you've done that, then the enemy's getting a foothold, and you just go, I'm not there.
True humility and growth for me is I remind my girls, or tell my girls, you know, of course, all kids, you know, when they're 17, 18, 19, 20, they know more than their parents. That's just the part of nature and life. You know more than your parents. You know better what to eat and whatever. And your parents are old, old-fashioned, or silly, or whatever. But when you said, I thought I knew it, whatever. And at that time, you did. You know, when I was 19, I knew everything. I did. And then I was 22 and went, no, I didn't. And, you know, now I'm 47 and I look back faster and I'm like, no, I didn't. You know, so true humility and growth, right, and just a thing, you know, when I was 25, I knew all about babies and things and whatever, and then when I was 35 and had another baby, it was like, oh my God, Joe, I shouldn't have been,
yeah,
shouldn't have used that. I should have used that or whatever. So it's always a thing to learn and to grow and to know, because as soon as you think you know it all is when something happens, you go, oh wait, what happened, and I don't have a solution for this again, or whatever. So I think that's the greatest thing is, and I, as far as like Pablo said, with, you know, maybe we're a little more flat. I feel that it, to me, if I was to say, well, I'm probably a little bit more blessed, I don't mean physically, for sure. I don't mean financially. I don't mean nothing. But if I step back and I look, I know a lot of other churches. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I know a lot of other church member male. Okay, male in upper position. I am not talking about anybody that's left their church. I am talking about men in other groups of church that I know. And that's where I take my judgment of maybe we are a little bit more blessed in the fact that I can hear Ken say, okay, I've got this thing I'm dealing with, and I don't know if I, you know,
right.
Humility and whatever.
Yeah.
Because you do not hear a lot of other men. Now, this is, I'm putting the men first here, but you don't hear a lot of other men say in front of a group, well, I've got this thing or whatever, or I'm not holy in front of the church or whatever. And so I feel like because of, you know, we like to, everybody likes to go back and retab and look at all that's wrong and look at nothing and look at all this crap. Right? But you would be sitting here, you wouldn't be here doing this if you hadn't have walked through and done through all of that. You know, and I look at transformation in Quirky and Charlie, and it's like a, that's where I feel the blessing is. It's like God has blessed us enough that Charlie sees his flaws and his faults, and he can understand, nope, he doesn't want to do this, and his maturity in the Lord is impressive. When I use my spiritual guidance, when I, you know what I mean? When I look at other people who are just doing so much for God, that God's like, he's not even looking at that. And we've got Charlie who can be like, well, yeah, I want this, but I want that. That's humility, and that creates growth. And so in me, that's how I look, and then for God to reveal himself. And the fact that we're pressing on, we're not just reading
right.
our seven scriptures on Sunday and then going home to our potluck. We're pressing. We are admitting. The first thing is, you know, an alcoholic is admitting you're not helped. So the first thing to grow is to admit you need growth. And you don't, I don't hear from a lot of other places growth. It's, God loves you just how you are. Today, live your best life right now, and everything's going to be so well. Ask God for his blessing. It's where we stop. You know what I mean? So
there is a but. Anyone can receive that blessing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes.
I was blessing, revelation, or anointing. Yeah. I one comment I want to make to this, which is, isn't it interesting how we as people in the world can say, yeah, we're constantly learning things. We're constantly learning things. Every day I learn something. I learn how to run my boat better. I learn how to mow the lawn better. I learn how to, you know, align my engine up. I'm constantly learning something. Same person talk about God, go, I got it.
Yeah.
I'm not
very
I'm saying the enemy gets it and says, oh, that's a 15-page instruction book, and you're done. Gets you to stop. Yet you would say, in every other aspect of your life, I'm constantly learning. And why is it you wouldn't say, I need to constantly learn about the Father?
Right. I don't know. And then
Well, I'm just saying, it's the enemy. Just,
oh, yeah.
Just
put that stigma there that you can't look like you don't know or that you're
right.
wrong.
Exactly.
Because then why would people want to come to God?
Right.
And actually, that brings them to God quicker than anything when they see humility.
That's what I feel is the blessing about this little group is the very openness.
Right.
And the, right, and the willingness. And, you know, we don't, there's no, we aren't worried about anybody here or they think if I say that. I mean, I'm really thankful. And I consider that a blessing.
Yeah.
There's one major thing that God has done in us. Major. And the Bible says, great peace have they that love God's word, and nothing shall offend them.
Oh.
And I'm noticing a lot and lot less offense. We're not so sure we're right, myself included, and so we're not offended if somebody has a different viewpoint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a very easy thing for a Christian to do, and we have for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how dare you? And excuse me.
You believe
the flesh sometimes wants to think that it knows more than it really knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Great is the mystery of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I know God. I know all about Him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. We're quoting, you know, this is like eternal, that you may know the only true God. And when every time I hear that, the only true God, it kind of opens up as an interpretation that there's more than one God.
Yeah, there's false gods.
There's only one
true God.
Now, the false gods is the same God that we are all talking about, but it's just different renditions. They all come out of the Bible, let's say. But there's all these renditions of God from man or doctrines. But there's only one true God, which is not a rendition of God. It's God Himself out of the mouth of God. God speaks. So there's lots of gods that everybody worships. It's one true God. There's lots of gods. Yeah, it's like the same. The same Jehovah. But disordered interpretations and visions, you know, there's only one truth. And some other thing I was going to say, you know, like in the end, hindsight, or the last days or whatever, like this vision that came up with me. See, everyone is going to see Jesus when He comes. And gigantic things are going to happen. So my mind goes to, well, obviously, I mean, you know, the media, you know, everybody knows what everybody's doing, you know, the media. But that's the stupidest thing I've come up with, because God's going to go beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and everyone is going to see Him, and not with the media has never done anything good for anything good. The media is just how to make things worse. I don't so I can't imagine the media being something that God's going to use for His last days. And everybody's going to see Jesus somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to hear Him, and great things are going to happen, but God's going to go beyond what the tools that we think exist these days. It's going to be a thing of God, and that only God can do without man.
Right. I agree.
Okay, let's, we could probably end it with, there is one
true God.
Amen.
I would like to comment before you turn off. I don't have a lot of translations, but every translation that I have, it says there is only one true God.
Mm. There you go.
They all said it.
Thank you. Mm.